And we're going to look at some things tonight. This is not popular. This scripture is not popular. Anywhere I've ever been, it hadn't been anyhow. But it's something that's very needful. And I want to look at it tonight, maybe in a different manner than what you're looking at, and maybe in a different manner than what you've heard it. But I pray tonight that God will give us something to be strengthened by. So stand, please, when you find your place. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible said, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. That's talking about the husbands here. Amen. I want to deal with some things. He said, verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Now, I want you to notice something in case I don't get a chance to come back on it. Verse number 1 said that they're to be in subjection to your own husbands. Then in verse number 5, it said, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Now, God puts that in there twice, and that's for a purpose. God wants you to get that and get it right. Amen. Women don't have to be in subjection to somebody else's husband. Amen. Their own husband. Now, that's the way God ordered it. In verse number 6, said, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, the thought tonight and what I want to deal with is that last few words that I just read to you. It said that your prayers be not hindered. That's what I want to major on tonight. And looking in this scripture. So if you will, you can be seated and let's pray and seek the face of God, and we'll take our time and look at these things tonight. Lord, as we bow in your presence, we do thank you that we have a privilege and an opportunity to study the Word of God together. Lord, help us to rightly divide the Word. Help us tonight, Lord, not to try to prove anything that we're leaning to. But Father, we'll just take the Word of God at face value and let it speak to us tonight through the Spirit. And Lord, that we not read anything into it that's not there, nor, Lord, will we take away anything, Lord, from it at all, or add to it either. But Lord, that we'll take it as it is, and apply it to our hearts and lives and understand it, that, Father, you might bless and have your way in our life. We'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I want to look at some things, and I pray that God might help us as we go down through the little thought is talking about our prayers, and I am concerned tonight about our prayers. I don't know about you, but sometimes my prayers don't get through like I think they should. Sometimes I begin to wonder why I can't pray and get an answer. Have you ever done that? You pray, you say, well, I feel like I'm doing right. But I believe in this chapter 3 of this 1 Peter tonight is one of the most critical things in our lives, especially in married people's lives, that cause us not to get our prayers answered. There are several reasons in the Bible why we don't get our prayers heard and answered, and we're going to look at a few of them. But let me just give you some things, what the Lord says in some other portions of Scripture before we get into this particular one. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. Put these in your notes. Let's look at these things and notice it. I've got it written in front of me tonight. I don't have to turn, but you can if you want to, or just jot it down. But listen what God says in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. He said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. Ain't you glad? Amen. That it cannot save. I'm glad God's hand's not too short to save. Amen. Neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Amen. God is not dull of hearing. and he's not got something else on his mind, and he won't listen to you. God will hear you, and God can save you. Then he said, but your iniquities, hear this, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And he said, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. And your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. God said, his ears not dull, he can't hear you. God said, his hands not short, that he can't save you. But he said, there's some things that's separating us, and there's some iniquities you have, and your sins will keep you from getting your answer for your prayers and knocks us out of commission. Beloved, we need to keep that in mind. Now, that is important when it comes to our prayer life. Amen. I pray, and you pray, and I mentioned this in some other lessons that I've preached on prayer. I pray sometimes and wonder, did it get past the ceiling? And sometimes I don't find a rebound. Sometimes I don't find an answer back for it. Does not mean maybe God's not going to answer it, but at the particular time, the Bible said he could not hear it. Can you imagine this, that God's turned his face and he can't hear? It kind of reminds me of this. Sometimes you take a child, you talk to them till you're blue in the face. And you try to tell them what's right and what's wrong. Sometimes they just look at you. And I believe it done turns you out and turns you off. I remember back my mother and dad when they would talk to me sometimes. It was going in one ear and out the other. I had no intentions of listening when I heard what I heard. Amen. Now God says I can do that too. God says He does do that. When our sins in our life and we do not come up to par with, God turns His face. When he turns his face, God will not hear our cry. Now look at 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 12. I didn't read this in our text. But in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, it said, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Whose? The righteous. Those who live right. Those who address the Word of God. Those who follow the Word of God. Those who claim the Word of God. Those who abide by the Word of God. That's the righteous. He said, and his ears are open to their unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. This is in correspondence to Isaiah I just read to you, that our sins causes God's face to be turned, and he will not hear our cry. That's why it's important when you get on your knees to call on God, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. That's why sometimes you have to do a restitution and get things settled before God will ever. You got to get God's attention. And the way you get God's attention is have a clean life. Amen. You can't cuss all week and expect God to give you a prayer answer. Amen. The moment you pray. You can't live with anger in your heart all week long and talk about the neighbor and the church and the preacher and expect God to give you an answer to your prayer when you pray. We have to have clean hearts when we go before the throne of grace. Now the Bible said in the book of Psalms, chapter 66 and verse 18. Psalm 66 and verse 18. David, give us this. You've heard it before. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That word regard means if we take it and allow it to get there, and we give it precedence and we get the place we practice in sin and claiming things that we should not claim and doing things that we should not do and saying things that we should not say and living like we should not live. God said, if I regard iniquity in our heart, that's what he said, he would not hear us. Amen. He put this through David. Now we come back to a little book before the book of 1 Peter, which is James. And turn over to the 4th chapter of the book of James, just a few pages back in your Bible. In the book of James chapter 4 and verse number 2, here's what God says through the Apostle James. He said, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war. And notice what he said, and this is the last part of that verse I want you to pay particular attention. Not that the rest of it's no good, it is. But I'm on a subject tonight. He said, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Now, sometimes your prayers will not be answered, not because of sin in your heart, not because of that in a particular time, although sin will keep your prayers unanswered. But sometimes you don't get your prayers answered because you just do not ask God for them. You said, well, and here's what I've had, little saints of God that's real smart, and I call them kind of smart addicts. Amen. You didn't know you can be a spiritual smart addict, can you? Did you? You have been. Said, not me. I'm talking about every one of you. Here's a preacher that's been a spiritual smart addict every once in a while. Sometimes pride creeps in and we just enjoy being a smart addict. Come on. We do. Whether you like it or not, you like to show people you know something sometimes. And you like to tell them that you know it. And you want them to know that you know it. Hey, you're a spiritual smart aleck when you do that. Amen. Now what happens, James says, you have not because you ask not. And so you know, spiritual smart aleck said, well, you know, God knows everything I need. And He said He'd supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. Well, amen. That's good scripture. But the Lord said, if you don't ask for it, you don't get it. You have not because you ask not. Some of you wanting things, but you got too much pride. You're not going to humble yourself to ask God for it. That's just plain, simple, plain language, isn't it? Amen. That's how the Bible is. We try to read too much into it instead of letting it just speak to us. Verse 3. James chapter 4, verse 3. Ye ask and receive not. Now he said, hey, some of you don't get it because you don't ask for it. And then he says, it's another crowd of you to ask and you receive not. You ask and you don't get it. And then he goes to tell you why. Because ye ask amiss. In other words, amen. You get down there. Now, Lord, I know you can do everything. Give me $1 million. Amen. I want to buy a new car. Amen. You said, well, if I want to buy a new car, can I tell the Lord about it? Yeah, tell Him about it. That don't mean you get it. Amen. Hey, what happens? He says something else about you ask amiss. What's that mean? You ask out of the will of God. It's not the perfect will of God for you. He said that you may consume it upon your own lust. Amen. Now, you might get it if you get down and say, Lord, give me $1 million. I want to put it in the work of God. I want to see souls saved. I want to start a work for God. Huh? I believe God come near doing that, and He would, that you're going to get something to plaster on your own lust and to enjoy. God don't want us to... He's not going to give us something we just enjoy ourselves. God don't want us here to enjoy. Don't God want us to have a good time? Sure He does. In His Word, in His work, and in His will, He wants us to have a good time. All right. God expects us to ask. Amen. Just like a child says, I want to eat. What do? You give it something to eat. Yes, sir. They don't have to, then tell what happens to your children. Amen. You supply what you feel like they need and what you can supply them. And God will do the same thing, except God's not limited to what He can do. You say, well, there's some things I wouldn't ask God because I don't believe He can do it. You've limited God. You ain't going to get it anyhow. Amen. You ask amiss. Now, I'll tell you right now, we need to ask, and then we'll receive. Now, when we ask God and He don't give us what we ask for, we realize right quickly there must be a problem, because I believe God wants us to have what we ask for. You said, I believe if I was right where I ought to, I could ask God for whatever I wanted and I can get it. I honestly believe if you're sold out to God, lock, stock, and barrel, and there's nothing else, and you surrendered totally 100% to the Lord, I believe you could ask God to give you anything you wanted, and God would give you not only your needs, but your wants, simply because you're sold out to God, and you wouldn't want anything that did not please God. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Well, why don't you just get out there and try it? Prove me wrong. Amen. Sell out tonight. Give up everything. Quit all your foolishness and quit all your sin. Quit all your bad thoughts and evil doings, and dedicate yourself to God and get the Holy Ghost all over you and get full of God and see if God don't start answering your prayers. And do that for a year and then come back and tell me I'm wrong. Amen. You won't do it. You can't do it. I guarantee you what I said so. Now, most of us live from payday to payday. Matter of fact, I wouldn't know how else to live, would you? I've done that for years. And some folks don't need a paycheck, but I got to thinking about it. I've lived from paycheck to paycheck. But what we ought to do is live from prayer check to prayer check. Amen. You probably never heard that, but just think about it a minute. You said, I'm living from payday or paycheck to paycheck. Amen. Some of you waiting for each week when you can get your pay. And some of you get paid every 2 weeks, and you're waiting every 2 weeks to get your pay. And some of you waiting for once a month. And amen. And when you stretch it out once a month, I'll tell you right now, it's a big one, brother, when she comes in. It gets gone fast. But we live from paycheck and paycheck and pay week and payday. We ought to get the place we live from prayer check, from one prayer to another, and quit worrying about the rest of it. Does that make sense? Just trying to help you tonight. You said, oh, we're going to stay out of that book of 1 Peter. No, we're not. I'm going to get there. I want to prove there's some things to you tonight that I believe we need. I believe a Christian ought to live from one prayer to another prayer. Amen. From one breath of air to another breath of air. From one step to another step. Because the Lord said He ordered the steps of a good man. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That makes sense? Trying to make the Word in a practical sense. Now when I go to the faucet to get water, and I turn it on, you know what I expect? Water. Amen. And you know what? If I go to the water faucet and I turn it on and there's no water, I'm going to start trying to find out why. I may say, Mom, did you pay the water bill? Amen. I'm going to say, do you hear any water running? I may call the city and say, have you cut the water off? I'll check and see if there's any broken pipes or if the wells went dry, if the pump is quit. And I may have to call a plumber. But I'm going to get alarmed because the water faucet, as the old country boy said, when you turn the spigot on. Amen, you country folks know it more as a spigot as a faucet. And you turn the faucet on and it don't come out. You know you got a problem. When I reach over on the wall and I flip the switch and the light don't come on, I say, uh-oh. Something happened to the power, or something happened to the light. There's something wrong with the source. There's something wrong. When I plug something in the wall and it don't start up, I say it must have a problem. So there's something wrong when I call out to God and I don't get an answer for my prayers. There's something wrong. Lord, what's the problem? Why can't I get an answer from heaven? Does this make sense? Amen. There's some things that we need to make sure. I like this old song that's been given down through the years. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Beloved, that's what we need tonight. We need nothing to come between us and the Savior, so that we will not have any sin in our heart and life. We can get an answer. Now turn back, please, to the 3rd chapter. I could give you some other reasons why we don't get our prayers answered. I could give you a lot more. But I want to deal tonight for the remainder of the message in chapter 3. And I want to look at this and I want to look at it from a different standpoint. I used to, in years gone by, take the 3rd chapter and I would really lower the boom and preach on the ladies. And I just kind of seemed like to enjoy rolling up my sleeves and begin to talk about the ladies. And brother, this is a scripture tonight that you can tear modern feminism all to pieces. Amen. This world has changed. I've seen things happen in the years of my life that I never would have believed would have took place. When I was a young boy, I remember my mother and dad at home. And mama sometimes would get kind of rowdy. Now, my mama wasn't a mean woman. She just, amen, tried to step out of line every once in a while. My daddy was a little quiet man. He wasn't very loud mouthed, and you didn't hear, amen, on time. He got loud is when he needed to. Amen. When he started calling everybody by name, he'd say, boys, to us. And to my sister, he'd say, daughter. And when he said boys, or he said daughter, it meant that he meant business, and you better shut up and quit whatever you was doing, because he wasn't going to say it again. But sometimes things would get a little out of hand, and Mama would get a little wild, because she didn't like the way some of us done something, or the way something was going on, and she was after one of us boys and another one of the boys, and she's all, and she'd kind of get in the air a little bit. I'm talking about she kind of got a little bit twisted. You know how you ladies get every once in a while. Want to get her point across, and after a while, and I've seen this happen many times, my daddy would sit there, and he'd say, Isabel. If my daddy ever said Isabel, that's my mother's name, my mother quietened down. Amen. She didn't argue with him. How about that? I remember when that was the way it was at home. I remember when wives took a different role than they do today. Amen. Now, this may get a little greasy. Amen. But I'm telling you, I remember my mother, my grandmother, and my granddaddy. Now, on one side, my grandmother, my daddy's daddy died when I never didn't meet him. So I didn't know what it was to have a granddaddy on my daddy's side. But I remember my granddaddy and grandmother on my mother's side. Sometimes we'd spend the night. And as boys, I watched this. I never seen this. Well, I seen it back then quite often. But I hadn't seen that in days past. My grandpa would get up in the morning and my grandmother, she'd be trying to take care of feeding everybody and getting everything cooked, and my grandpa, he'd look at her and say, now, May. And he'd tell her what he wanted. Her name was May. And he said, it's time for my shave. And my grandmother would get a long, one of those long razors, straight razor. Has anybody ever seen that happen? Amen. I'm talking about when the wives used to shave their husbands. Amen. I never did get that involved and don't want that. Amen. I just don't trust my wife with a razor. But anyhow, I remember when those things happened back yonder. And the woman was the queen of the home. Everybody respected Mama and Grandma. And they treated her well. She didn't have to raise no cane, so to speak. Amen. The only one that had the right to raise any cane was Eve. Amen. Just thought I'd throw in a little humor. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight that I saw that, and wherever I went, I see husbands and wives, how that they seem to work that way. But now in my day, I see where that women have tried to do different, and most of the times, it's whatever mama wants at home is what goes. Whatever mama likes, that's what the family does. Now, I want to say to you tonight, and I want to look at this and look at it in a little different way. Chapter 3 of 1 Peter. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. I do not believe tonight that a man ought to mistreat a woman. I do not believe that a wife ought to mistreat a husband either. But I believe that there's a biblical order in the Scriptures, and if we'll follow that tonight, you've got to remember what I'm trying to preach to, that your prayers be not hindered. I believe in the married people's lives that probably the most thing that hinders our prayer lives and prayers from getting answered is just simply the way we treat our wife or the way we treat our husband. Now, you may go home tonight looking at chapter 3 and think that this is specifically talking about women, but it's not. It's talking about men and women as much in one as it does the other. In verse number 1, you find the woman and you find the man, but the man's not mentioned. He said, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. He's called there, that part, but he said that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife. What's it mean? Here's a woman that's got a lost husband.
He don't know God. And God says that, ladies, what you need to do to win that man is to have the right kind of conversation, the right kind of attitude, and the right kind of spiritual atmosphere in your life, that by your conversation, and your conversation is the manner of living that you have and the manner of life that you have, that your conversation can prove to that man that you're born again and saved by the grace of God, and he can see Christ in you and he can be won. We used to have a lady come to this church, and she'd get up and say, "I want you to pray for my husband. He's lost." But boy, you ought to hear that woman in the public, and I know she's in the public like that. Lord have mercy, what he had to contend with at home. Amen. Now the Bible said a quiet and a meek spirit, and you're going to find that in the Scripture. Now that's how ladies win their families and their husbands. Now, I have always said tonight that you should not marry unequally yoked. I believe in that a saved person ought to marry a saved person. But there's a lot that have not. And for some reason they have not, have been taught that maybe. But the Bible said in verse number 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. That word chaste means pure. You've got a pure conversation, a pure talk, a pure walk, a pure life. Amen. You're living godly and holy, not wicked. Amen. Not to always causing trouble. Not, you know, brother, I'll tell you, we're living in a day when the feminists now, they've taken over. And it's hard to find what we call real godly ladies anymore. Amen. I still don't mind opening doors for ladies. Amen. Do you? And I try to treat them right. But I'll tell you, some of them don't want to be treated right. They feel like they got to be dominating. I don't believe a man ought to be so dominating that he makes his wife live in fear. I've seen that happen, and brother, that's not good. She ought to enjoy loving and living with him. And he likewise to her. But I'm telling you tonight, it's not that way everywhere you go. Then it said down in verse number 3, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. Now, I used to make hay off of this verse. I said, bless God, you ladies wearing that old plaited hair, put that gold on that fine apparel, and you strut yourself around. And I talked about how that ladies, that's not even what the Scripture's talking about here. I used to take that in. I used to say to you ladies, why the hair is a woman's glory. And I said, you ought to wear it, let everybody know it. Amen. Don't be a platting it around. The Bible said, no, that's not what the Scripture's talking about. Amen. You said you learned better on that. Listen, God showed me some things about this. It was some good preaching back yonder, though. But I'll tell you, we need to see what the Scripture's... What he's saying, what Peter's saying in verse number 3 is this. Don't go out there adorning yourself and plaiting your hair and wearing gold. He's not even talking about putting on the physical part. No, he's saying, don't put on the wares. Don't put on something you're not. It's not the outward appearance that you're appearing. Don't you try to prove to that man that you're living with that's lost and undone without God. And don't you try to strut around and say, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, and I live right and all that. And at the same time, gripe and fuss. Amen. And, just cut up in front of him. It's that quiet, pure spirit. Ladies, it's going to win those men. And I don't care whether lost or saved. I honestly believe tonight that my family or my home, we've lasted now for almost 50 years. That's pretty good. It hadn't always been a bed of roses. Amen. We've lined up a few times like the war between the states. We've had a few, sometimes we was Confederates and the other was a Yankee. Sometimes we've got the cannons and sometimes we've got the bayonets out. And sometimes we went to war. Amen. I'm not standing up here and telling you that we've had a wonderful, wonderful trip all the way. But I have found this out. if the wife is better and sweeter, the more sweeter she becomes, the more she will end up doing something in the home. And I found out that the better the man gets and the sweeter he gets toward his wife, the better the home is going to run. I found those times when I crawl out of the bed in the morning, and they just sometimes I get out of the bed in the morning and I don't like anything. Now you may not have them days in your life, but this old preacher does. I can go to bed at night shouting the victory and say, thank God, it's been a good day, been a good life, and it's been a good way. I can get up in the morning and say, she fixes something I don't want to eat. Or if I don't want to eat, and she says, do you want something? And I say, no. And she says, you sure you don't want something to eat? And the third time she says, you sure you don't? I say, no, I said I didn't want nothing to eat. It's hard. Now listen to me. I know good and well I'm not the only one in the house like that. There's some days you get up and you go on your job, and when you go on your job, you don't like the way that was and the way this is. You want to change this, you want to change that, and you wish you'd just go back home and go to bed. And I know that life would be much better if I didn't have that attitude. And the home don't run good when it's like that. Amen. And then after a while, you stay on the job a while and you get the thing, I wish I hadn't said that. You get to feeling good, feeling bad about yourself, and you got to call your wife back up and apologize. Or she's got to call you and apologize. Amen. What happens sometimes, neither apologizes and it carries on. Amen. But don't put on airs and make people think, I believe my home and my wife and my life between my life and between me and my wife down through the years have been much better if I'd have given a little more and she'd have given a little bit more. And we've all got to give. And without going against the Word of God now. I still believe that the man is the head of the home. I still believe and teach, according to the Word of God, that the wife is in subjection or to be in subjection to her husband. Now follow me, please. I want you to look at this. Any woman that will not take her place in the home will be a rebellious woman. God has laid the order. I didn't lay the order. I didn't lay it out that way. Matter of fact, I didn't even have a choice which one I was going to be before I got here. I didn't choose one day I'm going to the earth and I'm going to be a man. My wife didn't choose she's going to come to the earth and she's going to be a woman. God chose that for me. Amen? You understand that? So here we are. And we've all got our role, and this is the role that God has intended for it to be. So we find that the woman, she's to take her place and not be rebellious. By the way, rebellion, when I say rebellion, I'm talking about stepping outside the confines of the Word of God and doing what she's supposed not to do. But the Lord teaches us some things tonight. He said that she is to be chaste. Now, I'm going to give you three scriptures where you find that word chaste in the Bible. It's mentioned three times in the Bible. Three times that word chaste or chaste, whichever way you want to say it. It's mentioned three times in the Bible. Write these scriptures down. First of all, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2. I don't have time, or we'd go there and read that. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 2. Then in Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 5. And then, of course, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 2. All three times that this word chaste or chaste has been mentioned in the Word of God has always dealt with wives. Every time. So she's to be pure. If you don't believe it, you read those scriptures tonight to prove me. Amen, I'll show you. So what happens? A woman is to be chaste in her conversation. That's her manner of living. That's what conversation is. Amen. And her the way she does. Then it said in verse number 4, but let it be the hidden man. They're still talking to the woman. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. It's not on the ornaments and the apparel she's putting on But God wants her to give the hidden man of the heart in being chaste and lovable and kind and taking her position and not trying to run the home. Amen? I'll probably get a lot of flack off of this message, but I'm still telling the truth. And I hadn't got out of the book yet. I'm still right. Amen. And I don't mind it. I don't have to back up when you're preaching the truth. The truth will be around when the world's gone. But it said here, that's what she's supposed to be. Now look in verse number 5. It said, "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection under their own husbands." For the sake of time, I'm going to go down a little bit faster and get on because the time's catching me. He said in verse number 6, "Even as Sarah also obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." Now, he's given a whole list to the ladies. Brother, I believe it's important. That needs to be preached in these days. Preachers are scared to face this, afraid to preach it. They're afraid they'll split the congregation and get the women mad at them. But I found out every lady tonight that loves God and knows the truth and wants the truth and tries to obey the Scriptures loves the truth to be told to them. I know you don't want it crammed down your throat, so I'm not trying to do that tonight. I wouldn't cram anything I'm preaching tonight down your throat. I won't make you believe it. I preach it before you. It's up to you to do it. But I'll tell you, if you want your prayers answered and call on God, when you call on God, as a mother tonight, and I don't care whether your children are this little or whether they're out yonder somewhere grown. You want your prayers when you call on God. You want your prayers to be answered. Ladies, I'm saying I don't care where you're 20 or where you're 40 or where you're 60 or where you're 70 and you're a mother, you need to pray and know that your prayers are going to be answered. And regardless of your age, you need to make sure you're doing what's been told here. Even if you don't have a husband. Ladies, you have to have that quiet and meek spirit about you. That'll change the world. You ever seen these women? That's what's happened. I don't believe in... You can argue with me if you want to. But I don't like to see women in politics at all. I do not believe that they've got a reason to be out there in the world like that. I don't like it when I see women trying to be tree climbers. That's just not a job for ladies. Amen. And they'll say, well, they talk about the way they dress, and they'll say, well, on the job I'm on, I have to dress this way, then get you another job or stay at home like you're supposed to. Now, don't shoot me. Just follow me. Amen. I mean tonight, if you're a lady, prove to the world that you're a lady with that meek and quiet spirit in you and not have to plait your hair and all that adorning of gold just to, look here, I'm a lady. And they'll put it on the outside of show. Amen. It's that quiet and meek spirit. I want to call it quick every time, but it's quiet and meek spirit. Amen. You with me? Now, verse 7, the Bible said, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife." Now, he's going to talk to the husbands. Ain't you glad? But look, the husband has a problem. His prayers can't get through. And men, sometimes you pray and you can't get an answer. And I'll tell you, if you're a husband tonight, you need an answer from God for your family. And you need to make sure that when you call on God, listen, if you got children, you got a wife, I want you to know right now you got a reason to be on your knees constantly anyhow, right there, if nothing else happens. And when you pray, you need an answer. There's several things he said that a man is supposed to look at. First of all, you dwell with them or live with them according to knowledge. Now what's he talking about? Knowledge of the Scriptures. He's not talking about university knowledge. He's not talking about world knowledge. He's not talking about this crowd today that can tell you how to do all this and do that. And boy, isn't it something? I was listening to him. He was talking about where even the Pope said something about, this week in discipline. And where y'all, I don't keep up with the Pope much. You just happen to run by. Amen. And I don't mean by my house either. Amen. Through the news. And the Pope, he said something. But then they was talking about it, and it got on the news. You know, you start talking about disciplining children. And one fellow got on there, and he said, well, some kids you can discipline. And some kids you can't. Some of them you make them worse. I wish I'd have told that to my daddy. Back 100 years ago, brother, discipline took care of everything. Amen. When we was whipping kids back yonder, and I don't believe in beating kids, amen, but I mean whipping kids and disciplining kids, we didn't have as many of them in the chain gang. You didn't hear a 13, 14-year-old boy is going down to the schoolhouse with a gun in his pocket to shoot the teacher and some of the schoolmates. You know better. He had a gun probably hanging on the wall. He knowed what he's all about. He didn't go to take lives. You didn't hear too many back yonder in my day, in your day, when we was young, getting full of life and having enough of life and having too much of life at 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, hanging themselves or shooting their head off. Amen? Something happened to the home somewhere. And we want to talk about the juvenile delinquents out yonder, but it's juvenile parents we've got problems with. Amen. Amen. I know they wouldn't lick me, the school board, but here we go. The husbands. He's to dwell with them according to knowledge. Knowledge of the Word of God. What does he know? First of all, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Ladies, don't get mad. Don't get upset. I didn't write this. This is the Bible, but God said in His teaching here that if the woman is a weaker vessel, therefore she needs a husband to take care of her and to instruct her and to guide her. And that's been proven to us. It wasn't Adam that ate the fruit first. It was Eve. You understand that, don't you? Why do you think the devil didn't come to Adam? I'll tell you why. He knew Adam wouldn't fall. He already, I believe, had done and seasoned that thing out and looked at it and reasoned it. But he knew that woman was a weaker vessel because she came out of man. Came out of man. You get that? She's bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and she came out of him. All right, the devil knows that she's weaker. Amen. You can twist. You said, you ain't nobody going to twist my mind. Ladies, amen. Why, I know we can. Us men can twist you. Amen. You'd have a big... And I'll tell all this. Amen. You'd have a big fight at home. Amen. And it's war. Like cats and dogs. But that husband put his arm around that little woman and hugged her up a little bit and said, I love you. The sweetest thing that's ever happened to me in my life. And she goes... Talk on. Well, you said, not me. You just made that way. Amen. Of course, I know it works the other way too. She comes out, bat them eyes with a little smell good stuff on her, and say, honey, I'm sorry. Oh. We're made that way. We look at this. He got to recognize that to dwell well according to the weak, because she's a weaker vessel. Then said, being heirs together of the grace of life. You're heirs together. Said that your prayers be not hindered. Now let me tell you where our problem is. I'm going to quit. I'm not going to spend much time on it because I don't have the time. But listen. You know what's happened? Mama's tried to play the role she wants to play according to what the world says today. Our homes are reckoned today and directed and led and guided by what the world says about the feminist, or what the feminists say, I guess, about the home. Bless God, I'm not going to let no man tell me what to do. I'm not going to follow any man's leadership. I'm equal to a man. Now, you may get that theology from the world, but you won't get that from the Bible. Amen. You never will. That may just fix your ego up good. I can do anything a man can do. Well, you know good and well, when you just made that statement, you're lying. Because a man can't do anything a woman can do. You got your place and I got mine. And when I find my place and you find yours, I'll guarantee you our world will change and our homes will be right. Can you just see my wife come and say, bless God, I'm taking over everything you've got today. And I look at her and say, I'm taking over everything you've got today. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start mopping and cooking and, amen, changing the bed covers, and she's going to go get a job. I believe when it says this, I believe it means that the man is supposed to take charge. I don't believe as much as he possibly can. I believe he ought to get the place where he can raise his family and keep his wife at home and keep her fed and clothed and his kids clothed and fed without her having to go out on a public job. I know in this modern day we got some problems, and I'm not backing up on it, brother. I'll tell you, that's the order of the Bible. It's for the man to provide for the home. Amen. This business of stay-home moms, that's good. But I get tired of hearing these stay-home dads who become moms. You know what I call a stay-home dad while his wife's at working? A bum. You know what the Bible calls him? Worse than an infidel. Didn't say it's an infidel. Said he is worse than the infidel. Fellas, you may not like it. We got boys in here coming up. You may not like it, but you're prone and ready and been shaped up and seasoned to go to work after a while. Amen. And, amen, if I get to live another 20 years, I don't know where, I doubt it. And some of you boys in here ain't a working, providing for your family. You're going to hear more of this. So with the girls, too. You get married and decide you're going to run the home, I'm going to preach to you. You can count on it. I just ain't going to tell you when, so you won't never know. But I believe the man ought to take care of the home. I believe that's the way it ought to be. I understand for widows, and I understand for women that's not married. I understand they have to provide. I understand that. But we look at this. What happens now? Let me give you this, and I still ain't got what I wanted, the whole thought. Junior hears Mama fussing at Daddy, and Junior hears Daddy fussing back at Mama, and it's a war. I thank God I never did see that much in my childhood. I'm glad I didn't. I didn't see Mama trying to take over Daddy. I never seen that. I never seen my daddy misusing my mother. Now some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You've seen it that way. And they were seemed like a... I looked at that and I thought, Lord have mercy. My daddy loves my mama. My mama loves my daddy. And they don't fight. Every once in a while they'd have a little squabble, you know, and daddy'd just get his coffee and go sit down in the living room and tend his business like he didn't pay no attention where she liked it or not. He didn't fuss back like us modern men do. Amen. Men try to get the last word. And women will get the last word. There you go. You understand what I'm saying? But that wasn't that way when I was a boy coming up. We've lost this thing. And what happened is we deviated from the Word of God and come away from it. And I want to tell you tonight, we need to get back there. Now, I told you last year I was going to preach more of this year. And I'm trying to stay up and keep up my Word. Amen. God bless you. To be continued. Heads bowed and eyes closed. But our children have seen that. So they get married. So what they do is they think that's a manner of life that the woman is supposed to take charge, rule a home. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Now that's the reason we have so many people that will not get married. They shack up and live together and all that kind of stuff down through the years. They just look at that. The church needs to change it. God's people need to change it. Let's stand tonight. Amen. Appropriate song. Nothing between us and the Savior. I'm talking about our prayer life. Amen. I believe tonight in this church, if most of our men and the women would get the relationship at home correctly and get it right, we'd start seeing our prayers answered and God start working in the midst of our church even more. Some of you have already done that. I appreciate it. It's showing. It's telling on you. It's happening.